Our text this morning is Psalm 121. And before we begin, I want to remind those of you who have bought these little booklets, notebooks. You know, we got these for you. It's selling over $2. We are selling you for $1. Every booklet we sell, we lose money, but we gain great profits in a spiritual way. If you have your notebook, take it out. If you haven't got it and you want to be a part of the remembering community, you can get yours, $1. Our cost is $1.80. So every time you buy, we lose 80 cents. But it goes for your blessing. You say, why do I need the notebook? Because every time we are going to give you one or two or three memory verses, you just write down there and remind you. Otherwise, you think your memory is so good, it's not so good. This is an aid to memory. So this notebook called the A-Zone, yeah? That's the name of it, A-Zone. This notebook is specially brought in that you may remember God's precious word. Special verses. Not, you see, there are so many verses, but we give you just one or two each time. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. A song of degrees, sometimes called the traveler's psalm. Before you go traveling, read it. But there are some Christians who read it every day because it's so good. It gives absolute assurance. You never know when you set out on a trip what calamities may be hiding, waiting. But you want to put yourself in the care of Almighty, the one who cares for you and for me. For if you have come into that relationship, you know what relationship? Of father and child. What father will let the child go and suffer? Every father has a concern. How about Heavenly Father? Are you a child of God? If so, you must exercise this privilege and this confidence to know that my Heavenly Father cares for me. Now we think always in trouble about physical safety. So important, isn't it? In Singapore roads, we have very good roads. And your travel mostly is inconsequential. Nothing. But when you go overseas, especially in winter, you are on a very perilous situation. In Vancouver, we were warned about black ice. When it has rain and then it gets very cold and no more rain, the roads are coated with a small layer of ice. You don't see it. And newcomers from Singapore who drive there suddenly land in the ditch because the car has got no grip. So these are perils of the road. When you go on the road, there will be perils. What are your concerns, dear friend? I would suggest that besides this physical accidents and happenings, More important are the spiritual. For whenever we go into this world, there will be spiritual pitfalls, temptations, even in driving, how you drive, how you encounter people, the kind of Christian charity you may exercise or not exercise. You hear of people who suffer from road rage. How come? Well, 400 years ago, there was a man called John Bunyan. You heard of that name? Of all the books in the world that were written and read, the Bible is the most read, number one. Number two is a book written by John Bunyan. And his book is of special relevance to our topic this morning. What did John Bunyan write? Why did he go to prison for 12 years? John Bunyan was a preacher. In those days, you don't just preach, you got to have a license. And the established church did not give him that license, and he was found preaching. So he was caught, put in the prison for 12 long years. Now, sweet are the users of adversity. It was good he was in prison, because otherwise he would not have produced a book called Pilgrim's Progress. How many of you have read Pilgrim's Progress? How many have you? Wow, a few very weak hands. Huh? But I want to suggest to you that you get hold of the book and read. John Bunyan, for 12 years, wrote of the adventures of a man called Christian, a pilgrim, one who is traveling, and that's very relevant for us today. A pilgrim is one who travels, and today our topic is, say, traveling mercies or journeying mercies. We all need mercies on the way that we are traveling. John Bunyan wrote of Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrim was a Christian on the way from here to the heavenly city. And the earth of the world is called, you know the name of it? City of Destruction. And we all must remind ourselves constantly, just because you are going to get a bonus, a New Year red packet that the Minister Tharman has announced, there's going to be $1.8 billion, and one family already announced in Straits Times is going to go and get $2,800 for what? For nothing, because it's a hong pao. Amazing, wonderful. Now, John Bunyan says, don't be too happy. Don't rejoice just because you get hong pao. We are living in the city of destruction. And Pilgrim is fleeing from that city of destruction. And his name is called Christian. It's a picture of ourselves. We are fleeing from this to the city of light, of everlasting life, called the celestial city, the heavenly city, the place where we shall drink anew with the Lord Jesus when the day comes. Do you have that confidence? So I say, I hope our bookshop, book room still has copies. If not, place an order. Read it. It's going to do your soul a lot of good. It is the second most popular book ever printed in English. Pilgrim's Progress. By whom? John Bunyan. Read it. And it's going to touch your heart and change your lives, perhaps. So here we are. How do you go about your daily business? Do you, before going into the world every morning, commit your day to the Lord in prayer? I ask you an open question, a straight question. You've got to answer it. Do you commit your day to the Lord in prayer? I'm going to my business. I'm a nurse. I'm going to look after patients. I'm an office worker. I'm a teacher. I'm going to teach children. All of us have something to do. I'm a housewife. Yeah. I'm a retiree. Nevertheless, we all are in this world of many temptations and many problems. And who can see you through another day safely and at the end of the day say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Yeah? And thank Him for another good day. Do you want that? Of course, we all want it. But then you must commit your way to the Lord in prayer. Every morning. I turn my mind back to 1946, a long time ago. Sorry, 1942. All right. What happened in 1942? Did you know? Were you there? Many of you were not born. But let me tell you what happened. The Japanese were in charge. Wow. You ever seen Japanese in charge? And they issue a decree. All who are refugees from Malaysia or Malaya, in those days it wasn't Malaysia, only called Malaya, got to go back. Now those days, it was just about a few weeks after the surrender, when everywhere there were bombs, potholes in the road and barbed wires everywhere and Japanese sentries, and the rumors about how vicious and awful the Japanese were. They killed families, wiped out hundreds and thousands of people just with a machine gun. And they say, you got to go back to Batu Pahat, that's where I came from. Now how do you go back? Where to find transport? There you walk in the streets. Can you walk from here to Batu Pahat? 100 miles. No, dear friends. Father and myself, I was at that time the eldest among those functioning ones. My second brother was away. We don't know where. We did not know where. He was last heard of in Hong Kong, studying in Hong Kong University, and the Japs came, and all news was cut off for 3-4 years. We didn't have a word from him, so I was the eldest, because my brother was married. So father says, you come. So we go. We are going back to Batu Pahat. How? Bus 11. Okay, walk. Father says, no, there's a man of God called Reverend Marcus Chen. Let's go and see him. So we went to see this old man before we set out. And Father says, Pastor Chen, we have a big problem. He says, what is big problem? With Jesus, there's no big problem. What is it? Tell me. Oh, we are going back to Batu Pahat and we are very worried because the Japanese are everywhere. And we've heard of so many evil things and how they have been killing people without reason. We are very worried. You know what Pastor Marcus Chen did? He opened the Bible to Psalm 121. This is today's text, isn't it? Great. So he read to us, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Wonderful. I give you these two verses. You got your book, you write it down so that you not forget it. These words are given to God's people. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Where do you get help from? You're going into a journey. Who's going to be with you? Ah, you know what the Lord Jesus says? I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That is assurance. For He is the living Savior, and He says, I am with you. You go. Reverend Marcus Chen says, don't worry. Read through the Traveler's Psalm. Take it with you. Remember it every day. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Don't look at the floor. Look at the potholes. Look at the barbed wires. Look at the Japanese. All very terrifying. But when you look at the hills, you look beyond the hills. Who made the hills? God. What God? My God. My Savior. He died for me. And He says, I'm with you. Look to Him. You're going to Batu Pahat. Don't worry. Why? Because Jesus promised to be with you. What are you worried about? Do you have that assurance, dear friends? Coming to church, taking the Lord's Supper, you must do so intelligently. The Holy Spirit must teach you what the meaning of coming to the Lord's table is all about. What is the meaning? Meaning is, I am a Christian pilgrim fleeing from this city of destruction to the celestial city. I have a part in that kingdom, and my King says to me, I'm with you. Every day go into your work with this great assurance. No matter what your problem is, one of my joys and duties is to counsel with many distressed members. Whatever that distress is, I say, have you told the Lord? Tell it to Him. He is the great problem solver. And He who went to the cross for your sake to save your soul, will He leave your body and its needs in the lurch and say, I don't care? Can it be? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. And there I say, beyond the hills, the one who made the hills is my help. So, after we knelt down, we prayed, Reverend Marcus Chet, he says, fear not, take this psalm with you. So I say to all of you today, go into your work every day, work or no work. At home, retired, no work. Read this. The Creator says, lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Look to Him. He can help you. When I can't help you, I can't go with you. I'm useless. Actually, I need help myself. How can I go with you? So you commit your way to the Lord. And the risen Christ will go with you. This is the assurance. So we walked. My eldest brother, Timothy, had a small car called the Fiat Marvelet, no longer manufactured. It's a small thing, smaller than the Volkswagen Beetle, you know, the small Beetle. This is only a two-seater, but we cram. So my brother drove us to Woodlands Checkpoint and then dropped us off. The Japanese in the distance drop off. He goes back. So we walk, we learn to bow, you know, bow not like this, but bow is from the waist right down. And you don't bow properly, you get rewarded with a slap. So we went through. Johor Bahru, we had to wait 4 days for a lorry. Eventually, lo and behold, wonderful blessing, we got on top of a lorry. You all stand, you know, about 20 people on the lorry, all the way to Battapat. Every sentry point we get down, bow, and then walk, and then back to the taxi, and back to the lorry, until we arrive in Battapat. Great adventure, yeah? Okay, so we were there for about 3 weeks or so. Eventually we came back, thanking God. Truly God is a real help and a protector. Read this psalm now. Can you follow me? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills every day from whence cometh my help. You need help, don't you? Of course. Who doesn't need help? I need help every day. Now, verse 2. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. If He could make heaven and earth, do you think He cannot help you to walk on this earth, on land, and go safely? It's the easiest thing in the world. And God will do it because, why? Because you are His child. So simple. This is simple logic, isn't it? And yet people forget. They get so worried. They get neurotic. They got sleepless nights. And they tremble. And they don't know what to do. How sad. No Christian should ever be in that situation. No matter what your problem, no matter what your trial, God is able. Look unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth, and He made me. Wow, even more important. Made heaven and earth, very great. But made me. You know, the greatest creation that God ever made was not heaven and earth, but this man. We are created in His image, after His likeness. And this body is such an amazing, amazing creation. Every function of your system is a miracle. And if He made you, can He not help you? Answer is absolutely. Why? Because of this table. Because He died for you. Now to help you with your other needs is the least of the problem. The greatest problem is dying on the cross for you. So you have this assurance. Verse 3. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. When we were in Johor Bahru, after we reached there, I told you we had to wait 4 days for the lorry. Eh? Every day go to the lorry parking lot, the depot. Any lorry going to Pahat? Nobody was going to Pahat. So where do you stay? Oh, there were empty buildings, plenty of empty buildings. We just get one, and they go inside and stay because nobody's there. Ah, one night we heard a lot of people being ushered down the street by the Japanese who was hooting and shooting and took them all away. We could have been among that group taken away. We don't know what happened to them. But you know, it says here, verse 3, God will not suffer your foot to be moved. Wow. He who keeps you will neither slumber nor sleep. What's the use of having a keeper, a jagapintu, somebody who watches your front door and your back door, and you pay him to be your keeper, and he goes to sleep at night? What for? You might as well do it yourself. So he says here, God is your keeper. He is never sleepy. Wonderful. Are you assured, dear friends? You say, you tell me to trust in my Lord Jesus. How can I know He will never desert me? He says here, verse 3, He who keeps you neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 4, yes, He keeps you. Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. Keep reminding yourself, not my insurance, not the policy I hold, not because I have somebody who is in the police, He will look after me. He will not look after you. But God is going to look after you, and He promises to be with you everywhere you go. There's another verse in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. He says, the Lord says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's a promise. Therefore I can say with all my heart, the Lord is my keeper. He will not slumber. Verse 5. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. You never know the blazing sun and its power until you go to places like Saudi Arabia. It's real hot. And the Middle East and Israel, equally hot. Some places the heat goes up to 40 degrees. Then you really feel hot. What do you need at that time? You need shade. Whenever you see sun blazing down, you say, where's my shade? The Lord is your shade. When you come under the blazing of the sun, you will not be hit with sunstroke. You know what sunstroke is? A terrible thing. Yes, you're overheated. And your body just loses its control on this temperature regulation inside your body, and you get overheated. But God is your shade upon your right hand. He'll see to it. He'll bless you. He'll shield you from the harmful ultraviolet rays and other rays, unknown rays that come beating on you. Verse 6. This one is very special. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Do you know why they call lunatics? What is a lunatic? One who is mad. And how do they get mad? The moon has got something to do with it, no? We had a patient, and we were in a place called Kluang. And Kluang is a railway town. And this man was a train driver. And every time he passes by Kluang, he stops and sees my father. He says, Doctor, when moon is high, I go crazy. That's why they call lunatic.
the sun, not the moon. The moon hits them. When the moon is high, they go crazy. They don't know what they are doing. And they do all kinds of fantastic, silly things. Ah. God says, I will protect you even from the moon. The moon is not that wonderful, you know. Don't look at the moon and say, wonderful, full moon. But yeah, the 15th of the moon is coming, isn't it? Be careful. All right. Verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee. Now, the word preserve here is mentioned three times. Three times the word preserve. What do you mean by preserve? It's equivalent to keep. Protect. All what we need every day is God's protection. Accidents. God can protect you. One day I was driving back from this church after Sunday service. My wife was in Sydney with the children. I was driving along the Pan Island Expressway. What happened? I fell asleep. And the next thing I heard was the car scratching the middle of the road divider, the metal divider. I heard an immense screech. Oh, I woke up and the car went like this. I look around. Thank God I was on one side of the expressway. No cars coming ahead. No cars behind me. I say, thank God. He looks after you. He watches over you. He is your keeper, and He preserves you from all harm and sin. Where does it say so? Here it is. Three times. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord is good, you know. That day I said, thank God. It only had a scratch on the side, and I was still alive. And did I learn the lesson? No. I tell you, dear friends, those of you who are drivers, please, the moment you feel you're sleepy, don't drive. The thing is, you feel sleepy, but you do not know when you fall asleep. You do not know until the two more times I fell asleep at driving, two more times. But God is tolerant, you know, very tolerant. He still saved me. Why, He said here three times He'll preserve you, you know, three times. So you can fall asleep three times. The Lord shall preserve thy going out, thy driving along the expressway, thy going here and there. One day, I've told you this story also. It was 1970. And my friend says, now you're retired, isn't it? I say, yeah, retired, very good. He says, you like to do sailing? Come sailing with me. Ah, I say, that's right. I got the seawater flowing in my veins, you know. All my life I've been dreaming of wanting to sail. Now I follow you. So I went with him three times. Third time, this is a Changi Yacht Club. You sail in the Straits of Johor. And he says, this is the best boat. It's called the Laser. It's very fast, you know. Once you get on it, you can't stop. So one day afternoon, he says, you take one, I take one. So he sailed, I sailed. And I noticed there was amazing. All the boats were coming back to harbor. Back to roost. I said, what's the matter? You clear the way for me, maybe I'll just go. So, I didn't see a big, thick black cloud in the distant horizon over Johor. That's Johor, eh? This is Singapore. That's called the Straits of Johor. So I sailed straight into that black cloud. Before I knew anything, all the boats were gone. The big Sumatra burst on me. When the water came down, I could not see literally one end of the boat from another. You just cannot imagine it. The water was coming down like a sheet. And not just water, but thunder and lightning. For about 15 minutes, there must be dozens of lightnings and thunder. And the boat capsized. What do you do when the boat capsized? I climb on the bottom of the boat and sit on top and pray non-stop. Just pray non-stop. I say, Lord, this is surely the end. You know, golfers who are playing golf, just carrying that lightning conductor, one zap only, they die. In midday, you know. No rain, no nothing. But one zap of the lightning, they die. And there I was, the lightning flashing back and forth, and the thunder, and I couldn't do a thing. Only thing I could do was to cling onto the boat and pray. After about 20 minutes, 30 minutes, the whole thing stopped. I survived. Amazing. God says, listen to this. Verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He will preserve thee from lightning and thunder. He will preserve you in every situation. The only thing is, you keep trusting and praying. Oh yes, I never prayed so hard, I can tell you. I said, what fun. The next day, Straits Times said, gynecologist struck by lightning in the Straits of Johor. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out, thy sailing in the sea. Although you don't know how to sail, you also sail. This is a problem. Yes, I thought I could sail, but no, you got to take lessons. And I come in and I'm going out from this time forth and even forevermore. Oh, my dear friends, the time is up. If you have a little notebook, write there. Golden text is Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. It's so good, don't you think it's so good? Maybe we read it before we leave this place, so that we all remember it better. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. All right, already everyone read. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Amen. Once more, Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank Thee that Thou didst not only create us, Thou also didst recreate us by sending Thine only begotten Son to give us a heavenly heritage, to be born again into the family of God, to be one of God's adopted children with a wonderful hope for the future. Oh Lord, give us evermore the great grateful heart to know that in Jesus Christ we have an endless hope. Without Jesus, a hopeless end. Bless your people, all who have heard this message today from the Psalm 121. The psalm that is good for all occasions of God's people in any situation of trouble and problem, that we will always turn and lift up our eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh our help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.